Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast. Go hard, go fast.
All right, it's time for another CougarCast. I am joined, as always, by the 2002 Utah County Daily Herald Name of the Year. And Tosh, I will tell you, that should work for you. I met a listener this past week. And he was failing to come up with your name, but he said, but the name of the year guy. So you should feel good about that, I think. Okay, so listen, the Cougars come off a wild game against Houston. Just basic thoughts on that?
I mean, my first take was that it almost felt like a win that felt like a loss. But then reality kind of hit me, and it's like... Houston's a good team, and we came away with a win, and the voters saw it that way. We moved up four places in the poll. A win's a win.
A win is a win is a win is a win. And one of the things that I wanted to try to do is basically, you know, a lot of people were complaining about how the game went. There were moments for me where I felt frustrated with what was going on. And then, of course, there's the overwhelming crowd that says, yeah, but they're undefeated. They're 3-0. It's the second time it's happened under Bronco. It doesn't really happen all that often. The other thing I wanted to kind of throw out there is that there are only 23 teams in the country who have played three college football games and won all three of them.
Yeah.
And of those 23, only 10 of them played three FBS opponents. So 13 of those undefeated teams, you know, had a cupcake in there. So, you know, we're doing something that, you know, not a lot of teams get to experience.
One more comment I'll throw in there is that it was just a few years ago that we were winning games 3-0 occasionally, you know, or our offense was scoring single digits.
Yeah.
Where... That's where I really said, you know, yeah, there was some things I didn't like, but our offense scored 33 points, and our defense, for the most part, only gave up points when they were really put in a bad position with a call or a punt that we tried to run that didn't work. I think both sides of the ball played well, and we won. So, you know, what else can we hope for?
Yeah, and, you know, the best part is early leads. Early leads have been gigantic to this team. We got up 23-0 on Houston, right? I think we had a 21-0 lead against UConn, and then of course against
Texas
we got in the 30s, right? I think it was like 30-something-0, right? Yeah. So early leads been huge for this team. It'll be interesting to see what happens if this team has a team fight back in the first quarter or two, but they really have benefited from being up early throughout this season. But before we go any further, Tosh, we got a listener email. This comes in cougarcast@gmail.com. This one's from Clark. He's from Brentwood, California. He writes, thanks for the great show. I want to ask your thoughts about our schedule strength and the potential of the Cougars getting into the playoffs. I'm particularly optimistic because Taysom's completion percentage has been very good. So your thoughts on the strength of schedule and potential playoff opportunities for BYU.
So first off, the chance of us making the playoffs, even if we go undefeated, are low. I think I'm more optimistic than you. I think I'm going to go 10% chance if we go undefeated that we could make it into the playoff. And here's why. There's five Power Five conferences, thus the Power Five, and there's four spots.
Right.
So one champion of a Power Five conference is already going to be left out.
Right.
And so the only way BYU gets in is if two Power Five conference champions are left off. And the only way I see that happen, here's my scenario. I think the SEC is in no matter what. I think the Pac-12 is in no matter what. If Florida State wins the ACC, they're in no matter whether they're defending champs. So really, it comes down to the ones that could possibly be left out. Right now, I would say the Big Ten is the one that's left out. Right now, they have been horrendous. I think like they're like 1-10 right now against other Power 5 teams this year. They're the ones that are going to be left out. So the really, to me, it comes down to, can BYU, if it's undefeated, get in above a Big 12 team?
It's a great question, and we'll have to see. I say no, and the reason is I just think that it's the first year of this new process, and to let BYU in the first year of this new thing, I don't see the committee looking at it and letting a team, you know, from not a Power 5 conference into the mix anyway. That's going to be very rare. It's going to have to be a super compelling argument. I just think the Cougars got three teams on their schedule from the Power 5. Texas isn't going to be particularly strong. Virginia isn't going to be a particularly strong ACC team, middle of the pack maybe, right?
And Cal is doing better than expected, but they're not going to be world beaters.
Okay, so we're going to have middle to bottom of their conference Power 5 teams on the thing. And then we're going to have several teams from the American and a few Mountain West teams in there. I don't think it's enough.
Here's my only way it happens is if Texas becomes really good and if Texas beats the Big 12 champ, that really I don't see Texas winning the Big 12. But if whoever the Big 12 champion is, if they have a loss to Texas, that really helps us. Our only other hope is that ESPN loves controversy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they could be really hyping up this potential and this controversy.
Well, and they have a lot of reason to back the Cougars, right? I mean, it makes them a lot more money when there's interest in BYU. I saw a thing that said that there's more interest in BYU football right now than there's ever been in the internet age.
Yeah, I believe it.
There's been more searching for them on the internet. And to that, my brother who lives in Kentucky, he was at a diner in southern Kentucky, a little podunk diner or whatever. And when he was there, he had some people come in wearing – he was wearing a BYU shirt. He had some people come in and ask him, like, oh, do you like Taysom? And then they were, like, asking him, you know, they were, like, saying, oh, like, we really like him. Like, we think he's a lot of fun. Good luck to you guys. So, like, beyond that – with Taysom Hill being there, we have that kind of star player. They're dying for it. You know, he's from Pocatello, Idaho. It's a great story to tell about him. And so I do think that beyond that, he's really unique and interesting to watch play.
I only give a 10% chance we'd make
the playoffs.
And I think it's 100% chance, though, that if we go undefeated, that we're going to be talked about in the playoffs all the way to the end. It's going to be great for BYU exposure and for just – the talking heads to talk BYU. But I would also say, so the New Year's Six, they're called.
So let's explain what the New Year's Six is, because we had to figure it all out, right? But so go ahead. New Year's Six refers to what?
So there's what formerly were called the BCS Bowls.
Uh-huh.
That now, a couple of those each year are going to be what are the playoff games, the semifinal playoff games.
So it's six bowl games. Two of them are the semifinal playoff games.
And so that leaves the other four games that are just considered the New Year's Six, the old BCS games, that are also, for the most part, decided by the selection committee.
Mm-hmm.
On who plays in those games. So without making, trying to simplify it, there's four kind of what we used to call BCS games that are up for grabs besides the playoffs.
Right. Added, just so to help clarify, they've added to that list. So before it was Orange, Fiesta, Rose, and Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so those are the same. They've also added the Peach Bowl, and they've added the Cotton Bowl.
And so out of those four, one of those is already taken with conference affiliations.
Orange Bowl.
So that leaves three bowls, so that's six teams.
So Cotton Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, and Peach Bowl.
That are going to be at-large teams.
Yes.
And that's based on what the committee chooses. Similar to how basketball works, where they have a selection committee, football is doing that now. It's a 13-man committee.
But it's more transparent this time than the basketball selection committee because
they're coming out with rankings. Starting after week six, they're going to rank a top 25. After week six, that's the only top 25 that really matters is the selections committee's top 25 each week, which will give everyone a heads up of how the committee's thinking at that point.
So how those New Year's Six bowl games are going to go. Okay, so one of the things that we then need to take a look at in this circumstance is there's one other kind of rule to how they select these things. So there's six spots available in the Cotton Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and the Peach Bowl, right?
Yep.
So in those six spots, one of them is committed and will always go to, as long as this system's in place, to what they're referring to as the group of five mid-major conferences. And so one of the, whoever is highest on the ranking list that the committee puts out between the athletic, the American Athletic Conference, the Conference USA, MAC, Mountain West, Sun Belt, and I believe BYU would be included in that group or no?
No, no, because they're not in a conference.
So they're not included in that group?
No.
Okay, so one of those teams is going to get in. Then if BYU were to get in, then they need to be better than the highest. They need to be the highest ranked team of the out of the four. They need to be in the top five, right, of the teams that are outside of the playoff game. Is that right?
Yes.
And in the top five of the teams that are not the ACC number one or the SEC number two, Big Ten number two, or Notre Dame. Right?
Yep.
Because that's who's going to go to the Orange Bowl. Okay.
So
so the point is, the Cougars got to be ranked high on the committee's selection list. We're going to have updates and appraisals about that with each week after week six.
Yep.
Is that what you said?
But to really simplify it, I feel like if we go undefeated, I'm like 100% confident that we'll make a New Year's Six game.
And what's your percentage of confidence of undefeated?
Undefeated's tough. I feel like we're the favorite in every game individually, but when you add those all up, the stats then change a little bit. So I would only say 20% or 25% that we go undefeated. Undefeated's tough.
It's very hard. I like to look at it. I've decided 12 games. Let's look at it in quarters. So the next quarter is two home games and a road game. Virginia at home.
Mm-hmm.
Utah State at home. And then a short week to Orlando, East Coast, at UCF.
This is our toughest quarter I feel like we have remaining.
Yes, because the next one's Nevada at Boise at Middle Tennessee.
Yep.
And then the last one's UNLV, Savannah State, who you said that Savannah State would be favored against UNLV. Not the case.
No, Savannah,
Savannah State has been really, really bad. Yeah. They gave up 80-something points in a game. So Savannah State is there a way to be 1,000% confident about a game? So this quarter, these next – so if they get to 6-0, are you starting to feel like they're going to get there?
If we beat UCF, then I think our odds of going undefeated to me go slightly above 50%.
Okay. All right, so there it is. So you feel if they're undefeated, they get to probably go to a group of six?
Yep.
If they lose one game, can they be one of the five at-larges that make the Peach, Cotton, or
nope.
The... No?
If we lose one game, I feel like we'll end the season ranked somewhere near the 15 range. Maybe 12 at the best, and that doesn't get us in. That's a great season.
Right.
But that doesn't get us into those games, and that sets us up well for next year, but... It doesn't, in answer to this guy's question, a one loss wouldn't be enough.
It's not this guy. It's Clark, man.
Yeah, sorry, Clark.
All right, so there it is. So thank you, Clark, for the question. If any of you have questions, we're happy to discuss that. That was a good one because I think there's been a lot of confusion. I needed to clarify how this thing worked out. And, you know, by the way, one other note. Of the selection committee, Tosh and I went through and we said, chances that they'll be sympathetic to BYU. There's 13 committee members. We felt good about four of them, potentially. But we feel iffy about the former director of the Air Force Academy. They might hold something against BYU. But beyond that, though, like, and Ty Willingham, like, there's a chance he'd be sympathetic. But we're kind of... We weren't feeling good about there's not going to be a lot of people trying to rah-rah the Cougars. The guy that's affiliated with the American Conference, he should be on our side. Maybe the former USA Today reporter, Steve Weiberg, will be in the Cougars' corner. Beyond that...
A lot of ADs from...
Power Five.
Yeah. And so that's... They don't want to let us in, I wouldn't think.
Right. Well, and then all the supposed neutral guys have pretty strong ties to what? So like Archie Manning, Ole Miss, like he's going to be SEC. Condoleezza Rice is a Stanford person. Tom Osborne, you know, with Nebraska. So there's not a lot of, you know, and even Ty Willingham, you know, he's a Stanford, Washington, Notre Dame guy. So, but whatever.
We need to get Lavelle on that board.
Yeah. Do you think you can get that done, Tosh?
I'll send a letter.
You're a good salesman.
That is true. I'll send maybe a video video plea for Lavelle.
Oh, man. Maybe we can make a viral video that's pleading for change in the selection committee. Okay, so yeah, we're not feeling totally. We certainly don't see us in the Final Four, right?
It's tough.
But New Year's Six, if they go undefeated, is almost certainly going to happen.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's how we feel about that. And on the other side of this, we will get you ready for the Virginia Cavaliers.
BYU Hockey is coming to vanquish the foe. Follow the Cougars in their 2014-15 season as they're on the prowl at the Peaks Ice Arena. Listen to each home game live on Vanquish the Foe.
Okay, first game Saturday night, Peaks Ice Arena, 7 o'clock. They are playing the Weber State Wildcats. Weber State, big team. They are off to a good start this year. So it should be an interesting opening of that season. Okay. Virginia Cavaliers. Probably one of the most disappointing, if not the most disappointing loss in the Bronco Mendenhall era. It's competing with, I mean, in the sense of disappointing where we didn't think we were going to lose and then we did, yeah. Right? Like, you know, they lost with a loss to at San Jose State. That was a disappointing loss.
But San Jose State was a better team than Virginia.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. That was also a surprise.
I mean, other bad losses, they were undefeated and game day was here and then we got killed by TCU. But that was, I mean.
But TCU was a great team.
All the Utah losses, right. But outside of kind of. Yeah, the Virginia game is one of the all-timers.
I mean, a lot of player interviews. Remington Peck, I just heard yesterday, talked about the team last year. Out of all the games they lost, the one that they feel like, man, how the heck did we lose that game was Virginia.
Yeah.
That was a game they knew they should have had.
So it was a three-point loss, kind of a crazy game, tons of rain, sloppiness on the field. But what are some of the biggest memories you have of this Virginia team and the kind of players they have?
To me, it was their defensive ends. That's what specifically one guy stood out, Eli
Harold. Yeah,
that guy just seemed to be causing havoc all game.
He absolutely dominated the Cougars last game, and he, I think, was a big reason why Virginia won. He had 3.5 tackles for loss. He had 2 sacks. He forced a fumble that was then turned over. The guy had a monster game, and, you know, with his sacks and tackles for losses, he caused 32 yards total loss for the Cougars. He led his team as a defensive end in tackles. He had 11 tackles against the Cougars.
That was our first sign to me that, man, our O-line needs work, because he was just anywhere he wanted to be. Like,
he did whatever he wanted. He was a sophomore last year. He's a junior this year. All 6 of the Virginia Cavaliers' best people, like getting sacks last year, they had 28 as a team. That puts them top 50 nationally. They had a ton of them in their top 6 highest sack getters from last year are back. And with the year under their belt, and they're looking across the line at the BYU offense, which has given up 11 sacks in the first 3 games, which is a faster rate than we gave up sacks last year with the 2013 O-line.
And Virginia's defense is dang good. I mean, looking at Virginia, that's how they've been able to be in games and win 2 out of their 3 games this year, is that their defense is a real legit top school defense.
They've been doing very good defensively, especially with forcing turnovers. This team is leading the nation in turnover forces, and they're ahead by three.
That's a big deal.
They're ahead by three. They forced 13 turnovers, and the second closest team has 10.
And just to give some other stats on their defense, so against UCLA, sure, they lost 28-20, but their offense gave up – Virginia's offense gave up three of those four touchdowns.
Right.
Virginia's D only gave up 7 points. Then against Richmond, they only gave up 13. Their worst defensive game against Louisville, who is ranked, a really good team, they still only gave up 21 points. Like, their D is going to be, you know, come to play, and they've got athletes all over the field.
They have forced 8 fumbles, and they've gained eight fumbles. BYU's gained on 6 turnovers for the entire year. So they've forced more fumbles and recovered them than BYU has even gotten, including interceptions, on the entire season. So this is a big play defense. They force a lot of problems. They keep points off the board. They will be a really good challenge for that BYU offense. And in particular, the guy that you should be terrified of, because for heaven's sakes, his number is burned into my head, number 7, that defensive end, right side, absolutely destroyed our tackles last year. How do we feel about him matched up against our freshman out there on the at the left tackle?
Well, I feel like it couldn't go as bad as last year, and that I think old Louie, the man who's become famous for he loves to eat horse, I think he will. I really like what I've seen from him so far, and so yeah, I still like BYU's O being able to score. No one's stopped us so far, but that's a matchup that I will definitely have my eye on as a fan, is him versus is our tackle versus their end, and just to see who wins that battle.
So Eli Harold, he's the guy that was the MVP of the game last year for Virginia. He absolutely was the different maker, and he was the reason I felt that they won the game. So he's a guy I would absolutely keep your eye on this time. And I think you have to double that guy,
yeah,
which means that you're going to have to bring a guard over, which means that Karoma, it's a good thing he's back from – he's not going to miss the first half or whatever. He's going to be in, and he's going to have to do a very nice job of trying to help on that double on the outside. The problem is they have other defensive ends and that really can put some heat on. They've got a really strong defensive line, and we saw us against a really strong defensive line. I mean, I know we really handled Texas, and they had a really bad quarter against us. But otherwise, Texas's defense did okay against BYU, despite the 28 that they gave up in that one quarter when the Cougars had short fields and it all went right. So I don't know. We've seen BYU handle a defensive line. That was the one part that was disruptive about that Texas defense, and it seems like it's the part that's the disruptive part about this Virginia defense as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And they've got we thought Houston's D was athletic. They had athletes at almost every position on D. I really think that comps well to what we need to expect against Virginia. They've also got athletes at every position and a better D line.
Okay.
What do you think about Virginia's offense?
Virginia's offense has been unpredictable. And it's really hard to take a look at them because you and I, in our pre-pod, we were talking about it. And, okay, so quarterbacks, they've got two guys, right? So it's quarterback by?
Committee.
And at running back, it's running back by?
Committee.
And at wide receiver, it's receivers by?
Committee.
Yeah.
They really don't have a standout at any offensive position, which bodes well for BYU.
So they're a team.
They are.
There aren't any stars, right? And so.
And so to back that up, so Lambert.
Who's
was
their playmaker? Do they have one?
No.
Yeah.
They not on. I mean, maybe someone will emerge. Hopefully, it's not against us. But so their quarterback situation going into the season, they really wanted Lambert to be the man.
Right.
That he won the quarterback battle in the offseason. But against UCLA, after that second quarter, when they were down 21-3, when all of UCLA's points to that point had came on defensive touchdowns, they pulled Lambert and put in Johns, and Johns actually led the comeback, where they still ended up coming up short. In every single game since then, all three games, both quarterbacks have played.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lambert's been getting more and more snaps, so I foresee him getting most of the snaps against BYU, but they're still in a quarterback by committee situation even going into their fourth game of the year.
Well, and defensively, just as a fan at BYU, I sit there and I go, yes, do it by committee, please, thank you, this is fantastic, I like this.
But both guys are really similar, and that's what I've heard BYU defensive players talk about, that they're really preparing the same. They're both 6'5 guys that really can throw the ball. Neither of them are – they're more drop-back passers, and so they're kind of the same
guy. Yeah, they don't give you different looks.
Yeah.
Like, it's like UConn, like Whitmer and
Cochran.
Cochran. They kind of gave the same look, and it seems like these two are also going to give a similar look. Another interesting note on Virginia's offense, though, as prolific as their defense has been at taking the ball away – their offense has also been prolific at giving the ball away. They've had 8 turnovers this year, and that's good for second worst in the country. So they're prone to turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And it's through the air, by the way. Five of their 8 turnovers have come as a result of an interception.
So let's talk some more about how we think BYU is going to match up with these guys we just talked about.
Okay, so let's do the most interesting matchup. Right, and it's that BYU offense, which has been very good against that very good Virginia defense.
And yet, BYU this year, we've scored well in every single game. That I foresee, and this is probably some BYU fandom coming out here, but I still think we'll be able to find out a way to score points. We've got so many weapons that we're hard to match up against. What could really...
They won't be able to stop the run. Full stop.
No, like, I don't
the
think
run,
so.
The run is going to be just fine.
Yeah. And really it comes down to the biggest battle, which we already hinted at, is really Eli Harold versus whoever, because we kind of rotate who's in
our line.
But whoever's that left tackle.
Or just the left side, period. Left guard. He's going to get you. If they don't double this guy constantly throughout the game, then I don't know, like... That's not making adjustments for personnel whatsoever. They have to double this guy, right?
Yeah, I would think so, or at least have a back that's doing a pretty good job of keeping an eye on pass blocking on him.
So Paul Asike all day.
Yeah, he's great at that.
Yeah. I think we pass. I tried to keep track of some of this. By the way, if you want some interesting pass stats and stuff, go to vanquishthefoe.com. I wrote a thing about I think it's time for us to say so long. To go long. I just don't know.
You just want us to run a lot more.
I think we have to. I think that it's just what we're good at. We got into trouble against Texas because we tried to pass more than we should.
You mean Houston?
I mean Houston.
Yeah.
We did not get into trouble against Texas. Against Houston, we got into some trouble because we tried to pass. Our turnovers all came on the result of pass plays. Just all of our troubles seemed to come from passing. And we stabilized ourselves in that second half by running. So
we've been able to run well against everyone we've played.
Yes.
And so the player that I think could actually be the biggest difference is if we can have Algie Brown back and he's somewhat healthy.
Yep.
That last year we didn't have a back that could catch out of the backfield. And against Virginia, I mean, it was that famous play that really cost us. But then this year... If Algie is playing and getting, it really makes us tough to defend.
Yeah.
Because he, against Texas, he was our second leading receiver.
Right.
And
he leads the team in yards after catch.
Which is great.
This season.
Coming from a back.
Right. And he didn't play the last game. So, yeah.
He just opens up things for our tight ends, our receivers, running lanes for Taysom.
He's a safety net for Taysom. It makes it so Taysom doesn't have to take more hits. He's really valuable.
I think like 3 or 4 players that might come back from injury, and there's some really important ones, but I point to him as the most important, that he could be the biggest change coming from Houston to this game, is a healthy, effective Algie back.
Yeah. No, that good Algie, it's good for the offensive ecosystem.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. I think offensively, though, do you suppose that they're going to be, you know, because the interesting part about this offense is it's not a big play offense per se,
Except when we break runs.
Except for big runs, but there haven't been that many big play runs either. It's been
20 yarders
or things like this, but there hasn't been like a big 45-yard play this year. There hasn't been a huge, huge play. Taysom had one that was taken away, right, against Houston, and Juergens had a big play, but then he was stripped, and so the point is I just think that the Cougars aren't necessarily a big play offense. So can they grind it out and find their way in the end zone
or
consistently?
The other matchup to watch that BYU needs to happen is that teams are already starting to stack the box. Houston played with 7 or 8 men in the box pretty regularly.
We're absolutely willing to guard the receivers one-on-one.
And our receivers still were not getting open enough to demand the ball and to make big plays.
Right.
And so that needs to change. That against Virginia, we really need, in a one-on-one situation, for our receiver to win that battle more than half the time.
Right.
And we haven't had that yet. Leslie's been able to do that and get open. But other than that, we need some other receivers to step up and get open in one-on-one.
But he's not. But nobody's getting open on the deep field routes. Hitch and goes, sluggos, streaks.
That's not Leslie's strength, it wouldn't appear.
Yeah, and nobody's getting open that way. And it doesn't appear we have a burner. I mean, that's just all speed, right? I mean, you got to get by the guy. A lot of it,
getting off the line, but mostly
speed. Win the hand fight and then go. So is there a chance that, I mean, our guy for that is either Kurtz, right? But he didn't strike us as the super fast guy, and he's still not going to be back. Is it, and there's a lot of clamoring, is it Devon Blackman?
Yeah, that guy's fast, for sure.
He looked fast when he made that short.
Don't know with his height, though, if he's really just a go-route guy as much as – but he can still stretch the field with different routes besides just the straight-up streak.
Right.
Here's my
So you see him more as a slot guy?
I see him more as a slot.
You don't see him on the outside?
Well, but running just different route. I don't see him on the outside just running a streak because I think height really helps on the streak route. The guy that I would want – that my outside the box thinking, and he didn't play that much defensively against Houston, and I was unsure why.
Rossapo?
Michael Davis.
Oh.
I think they put Mike Davis in.
Not Rossapo?
I would love Rossapo to emerge, but I've almost forgotten, sadly, about Rossapo. I hope he...
He's had one target this year.
I hope he reemerges and just surprises our secret weapon. But Michael Davis put him in the game a couple times a game for a streak. I would love it, and I think he's our fastest guy on our team, in my opinion. Let's let him run a few streak routes just to keep the defense on their heels.
On that, is Arlano the fastest guy on the team?
He hasn't proven it. I mean, you always hear these rumors, and then when he has tried running it, he doesn't look that fast on game day, does he?
No. But so you think maybe try to have him prime time it, right? Go both ways.
Yeah, just a few plays a game.
Just put him in. Run straight.
Yep.
Okay.
I would love that. If it happens, I will smile so large.
One place the Cougars are not attacking downfield is through the middle of the field. Between the numbers, the Cougars so far this year have only attempted 6 passes where the ball actually traveled downfield over 10 yards. They're not attacking the middle. They're forcing Taysom to make these throws outside the numbers. Tosh, I don't know a ton about quarterbacking, but I seem to have it in my head that it's easier to throw it in the middle of the field with more accuracy than it is outside the numbers.
Yeah, I think the truth is there, yeah. And it's
so
easy to see.
Why aren't we throwing it up the middle?
The only thing that's a little bit of a con to the middle is that more often there's safety help more often in the middle of the field.
Right.
But, that you got to live with that risk. I think that it would, again, keep the defenses on their heels if we attacked the middle of the field more.
And it's possible you're going to get destroyed by a Craig Bills-type safety who's going to...
Who was laying the wood last
game. Who's going to kill you for coming across. But I just think they are not... When they throw downfield, it's always to the sideline, outside the numbers. I would love to see them try... up the middle of the field. That's really the one place passing that the Cougars haven't really investigated and tried out. And I think it's time. I think if you're ever going to have it work at this point, you need to start looking more in positions where it makes, because I think like Mitch Matthews and Jordan Leslie, like we feel good about them as receivers, But we think that they're probably better at running a post route and finding some space that way than they ever will be running a streak and or one of these you know, super downfield routes. And so I'd like to see more of that tried out.
And I think that's fair. That the tough matchup that's really – you could debate both sides is the RO versus their D. Where I think that we really separate ourselves is, let's switch to the other side. I think that our defense is going to play very well against their offense.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting if the defense can cause – this is – it's field position. But if they can cause some fumbles and get some interceptions and put the Cougars on a really good field position opportunities offensively, you know, it's a lot easier to score when you only got 35 or 40 yards to go instead of, you know, 80. And so I just think that the defense will keep points off the board. But more importantly, to help out our offense, we need a couple big plays from this defense. And it's been shown by Virginia that they're willing to let you get a big play. As again, they are second to last in the country in not turning the ball over.
So out of the three, I would say, you know, parts of a defense that we could break down, I think pass coverage, we're doing great.
We should feel okay.
I feel like we'll win that battle. That they don't have any receivers like Houston did. They don't have a Greenberry that – because
– Or Spencer. I mean,
I
was impressed.
We had several plays where we had – I felt like great coverage. We were right on them, and their receiver just out-athleted us.
Yep.
I don't see that happening against Virginia.
Well, and O'Korn really put the ball right on the money.
Yep, no doubt. And then I think our run defense, I like our odds there. I think that our linebackers, and that's been one of the biggest surprises on this team to me, is our ability to stop the run.
Right.
We've been great at it again. The only question mark I have on defense so far this year...
Well, they have gap integrity and...
good word usage there.
Position mastery, and they're doing what they're supposed
to
do.
Where we don't have position mastery yet, to me, and in this game is going to be the only question mark for me on D, is our pass rush.
Right.
That against Houston, it was pathetic. That O'Korn had way too much time to sit back there. We had to bring lots of extra guys in order to give O'Korn any sort of pressure. We need that to be better against Virginia.
We do. At the same time, are you sure that it's worth... I mean, they were passing every single down. The Cougars can't bring heat every time. And when they did bring heat, we got burned, right? It ended up being a pretty good pass play. And so it's a catch-22. It's like, do you... And in the principles of bend, don't break, right? You drop and you prevent the big play and you, right?
And to blitz effectively, you can't blitz every time. It has to catch them off guard.
Right.
It has to be the exception, not the rule, I think, to blitz effectively. And so really what I was more disappointed with is that with just our normal non-blitz pass rush.
Tui Loma, Rolly, Peck, they weren't winning those.
No, we really missed Kafusi because in the first... against UConn at least, and then in his limited time against Texas, Kafusi, when they would just have the normal three down linemen, but they had Kafusi blitz the end almost every time. With rushing four, Kafusi was able to get pressure even when you're rushing four.
Will he be back?
If you would have asked me yesterday, I'd say no. But then yesterday, he was announced as hopeful.
Oh.
If I was a betting man, I bet he doesn't play. I bet they're just trying to keep Virginia.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it's all just silly. Doubtful, hopeful, probable, but even probable guys don't play, you know?
Right.
And so.
Yeah, I have no idea what to make of that. Okay, so we feel good about the defense and their ability to keep points off the board. And really, the big problem, if Virginia is to score points, it'll come through big plays. That's sort of how I feel.
Yeah. Broken assignments. I don't think they're going to be able to do long extended drives on us. It'll be one big play that someone misses a tackle or someone was in the wrong position.
And they've got some different personnel, but they certainly weren't able to crack the code last year defensively, and it was big plays that cost them.
Yep.
So then that's the third thing, and I actually think this will be an important element to this game, will be, you know, turnovers. Obviously, it appears that they're going to occur. The Cougars will likely, I mean, we're -1 in turnover margin this year. We've given up 7. That puts us near the worst in the country. So we're giving up a lot of balls. They take away a lot of balls. So there'll be some of that. We'll probably take a few from them. So just you combine those factors of turnovers and field position and where they are. I think field position is just going to be huge. And I also think that, field goal kicking and, of course, punting, which Arlano, I'm going to just take a second and praise the man. He had the run was silly, but beyond that, though, he's had 10 punts this year. Five of them have been downed inside the 20. Two of them were downed inside of the 3 at this point, and one of them resulted in a safety. The guy has really done a nice job punting the football.
Yeah, I agree that overall he's been great punting. And he's had some where he had pressure in his face and still, like the one where there was the running into the kicker. He right. kicked like a 55-yarder right. with no return while knowing he was about to get roughed up.
Right.
Like he's punted the ball really well.
Yeah. And the one thing I would change is getting it out a little quicker. But beyond that, he's had a really nice, nice year punting the football. He's actually turned into a weapon of sorts because you pin a team inside the 20 against this BYU defense, they're not scoring.
Agreed.
So I think that those factors will come in. The special teams will be important in the sense of just, you know, where they start and where they are. That'll help determine whether or not, you know, a team will be more or less successful when they score. And I think where the turnovers occur and where the punts land and all those things, that's going to be a huge factor in this game. Let's talk punt returners. A lot of controversy about punt return. Who should be doing it?
I'm totally on the Blockman side, yeah.
Yeah.
That
Mitchell Juergens seems good at calling a fair catch at this point.
Yeah, and he's adequate. I mean, he gets okay, but I don't see him having ever bringing one back for a touchdown.
Right.
Which, if I'm going to have someone back there, I want to at least feel that's a possibility.
Right.
And so,
but you also feel like one thing that happened with Blockman is there was one where when Devon Blockman returned it, he was busy dancing and they ended up losing 5 yards.
So he had two. One was exceptional. The other one was bad.
Right.
But I feel like the one that was bad, that was his first one ever, really first D1 moment. I cut him some slack there. That continued to happen where he's dancing instead of trying to run upfield. But the second one, he had to dance. He caught it, and there was guys around him. And miraculously, he made like 4 guys miss and broke it for 20-something yards.
Yep.
And so
yep.
I'd like to see him back there.
Okay. Well, so the Cougars and the Cavaliers are going to hook up, and those matchups are going to be vital. The most important matchup in this game, yeah, that we've talked about, what do you think? The game will be won with these units.
Our O-line against their D-line.
Okay, so our offense versus their defense.
Yep.
Whoever gets the best of each other is going to determine the game.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting. And now it's time for 10 for Tosh. All right, 10 for Tosh. 10 questions for Tosh McIntosh. Question number 1, Taysom Hill will throw a ball that travels over 30 yards in this game. Just throw one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes. So just because I think he's due. Like, I don't think that he's had a completion, right? That the ball's flown for 30 yards?
Nope.
And last year, he was taking, I felt like, more shots down the field. So I feel like he's just due. So I'm going to go yes.
Okay. Question number 2. BYU has reached 30 points in every game. Does that streak continue against that stout Virginia defense?
As much as I hate to say it, I'm going to go no. I think that this is the toughest D that we will play this year, and that we get close, but we don't get 30 points.
Question number 3. BYU has yet to have a receiver gain over 100 yards in a game. Will a receiver reach that mark on Saturday afternoon?
No. I feel like Leslie will have another solid game, but it'll be the solid games like he's had lately, where he's getting 70-ish yards. That's what I expect this game.
So he's the only one you think has an opportunity to get it? If there is somebody that's going to...
Matthews could break out, and I think that we hope that Blackman would be able to get to that point, but I don't think he's there. And so, yeah, Leslie's the only contender in my mind this game, and he doesn't do it.
I think Keanu Nelson might do it.
You would love that.
I'm on board. I love that guy. Okay. I should meet him just be like, I'm
your biggest fan.
You're the best. Okay. Question number four. Texas's Jonathan Gray, their running back, had 47 yards rushing against the Cougars, marking the highest total any opposing running back or just player in general this season has rushed for against the Cougar D. Will a Virginia rusher get to the 50-yard mark this game?
I love that that's the question, that our D has been awesome. And I'm going to go no. I don't think that – I mean, last week –
because of the committee?
Yeah, just because they don't have any dynamic runners. And two, we've been dynamic at run stop. And I think part of that is because our safeties – Levitt, Bills, and then listener of the show, Harvey Jackson.
Yeah.
They also are really good at run defense. Last week against Houston, their best runner only had 7 yards. That this week, again, the streak...
They didn't really run.
Yeah, but still, it's cool.
Okay.
The streak continues. No rushers over 50 yards against Virginia.
This streak could get more and more intense with each week. It could be bigger than the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I know. 21-0, and then he lost to Lesnar. Okay, here we go. Question number five. We already talked about him, but Virginia junior defensive end Eli Harold, big number 7. He had 2 sacks, 3.5 tackles for loss against BYU last year. How many sacks and tackles will he have this year for loss?
You know, I bet he had – so we're going to combine sacks and tackles for loss?
Yeah, so he had 5.5 last year. How many sacks and tackles of loss will he have this year? 3.
And they're all sacks. I don't think – I think he has 3 sacks. We've given up a lot of sacks this year.
How many yards will he cost us? He cost us 32 last year.
Not tons. A lot of Taysom sacks this year have been like 1-yard sacks, you know, where he
That's
scrambles.
True.
And so I'm going to go 3 sacks for 12 yards.
It's still a good game.
Oh, yeah, he's a great player.
Good. Okay, question number 6. Virginia has benefited, of course, from 13 forced turnovers. Leads the nation. How many turnovers will they have against BYU?
We need to keep this number low to win.
By the way, BYU, we just looked it up, is 106 in the country. So they're one of the worst teams in the country at turning it over.
I bet we turn it over twice.
2 times.
Yeah, I don't like that, but that's what I bet happens.
It's a little below their average, but yeah, okay. 2 turnovers. Number 7. Virginia has turned the ball over a ton this season. They've given it away 8 times. That's second worst in the country. How many turnovers do the Cougars force?
The Cougars will force 2 as well. I think we're even on the turnover battle after this game, that we get 1 pick and 1 fumble.
Question number 8, interesting one. Will BYU have a player ejected?
Yes, and it's going to be based on, I think that our safeties, when guys go over the middle, we are crushing guys.
Uh-huh.
Bill specifically is laying the wood. I think that we're really, with how trigger happy the refs are with targeting penalties, I think that this game... one of our safeties gets kicked out for a targeting.
Who?
Bills. Oh, could be Levitt, too.
Boy, that would be bad.
Levitt is one heck of an aggressive player, and I could see him getting ejected for a targeting or a variety of other things. But I think the answer to the question is yes, someone gets ejected this game.
Odds, is it possible 2? Mike?
No. I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but I would... It would shock me. I'm going to say no,
offensive,
it's not 2.
An offensive guy? Do you think that's in play?
Are done. I don't see any of our offensive guys getting kicked out. It's a targeting thing is why it will happen.
By the way, on a quick aside, has there been a more like entertaining like freshman offensive lineman ever than Tejan Karoma?
No.
Guy, he's come in and he's just become like, he's one of my favorite guys out there. Like, he's unbelievable.
He's had some bad moments that have been entertaining too.
Oh, right.
But the guy has so much talent, and I just like the anger and passion that he plays with.
By the way, you would have known about him had you listened to the Cougar Cast signing day special.
He's who stood out to us.
We talked about Tejan Kuroma's film for about 20 minutes during, not 20, but
it doesn't happen much about a center.
We talked about that center freshman who's coming in for about maybe 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
We were in love with that
Pancake
guy.
Pancake City in high school.
He was amazing. Okay, anyway, I still may go back and watch his high school highlight reel because it's fun. Okay, question number 9. How many times will you personally go crazy due to the management of the video board at Lavelle Edwards Stadium?
Way too many times. For whatever, they don't show replays. Like,
Is there a rule that doesn't allow them to show the replay until after the replay has been
reviewed?
What
I've heard is that was a Mountain West Conference rule, is what I heard. That's not an NCAA rule. And because I've been to games, away games, where they're showing those.
Right.
And the other thing,
they should show them when it might only benefit our side, and then not show them when it.
Well, that's what I went to Texas this year. They were showing replays from different angles, from putting it in slow-mo. What they didn't do, if it was a BYU good play, they didn't show the replay.
Right.
But a Texas play, they were showing them like crazy. We need to do a better job of going to the game, of better replays and better angles.
Right. They're busy replaying, like, the targeting hit, and they're busy doing this. And, I mean, we can't see any of it.
Yeah.
And then they show it real quick, and because BYU plays so fast, like, it's over. The opportunity to get the chance to see the play. It, in particular, is a nuisance to me because I sit in the end zone, and so I can't.
And to really hammer this guy while we're continuing, if it's the same guy, he messes up down and distance quite regularly, too.
The down and distance thing for me is the bigger one. As I go more crazy about incorrect down and distance because I can't tell. I sit low, and I'm in the end zone, and when it's on the other end of the field, and it's, you know, they're at the 30, and it's a 3rd and 4, I have no idea, right? I said it could be 3rd and 10. I don't know where I have a better guess than that, but I it could be. I really struggle.
Last year, the same thing happened.
It would improve my experience as a fan at the game by a ton if they would just nail down that down and distance for me. Yep. Thank you very much. Okay.
You're not getting that on any other podcast. These rants about the video board—that's what we bring to you guys.
This is what makes Cougar. This makes CougarCast the number one BYU fan podcast in the world, according to our numbers. Okay, here we go. Number 10. What will be the Sunday newspaper headline?
Look who is still undefeated.
Oh!
And who is spelled H-O-O.
Oh! Wow.
I feel like, yeah.
Shots fired at Virginia.
I think the Who's is a cool nickname, by the way. So I had to throw that in.
I'm on board. The Wahoos and then just Who's for sure. Yeah, no, that's pretty good. All right. Tosh, despite giving them a compliment, I think it's time for this. All right, if hate were people, that guy would be China. And in our feeling towards Virginia coming to this game, why should we be devastated? Why do we hate these guys? They come into the building, we hate them.
So we're going to go a little bit outside the box to really drum up some hate this week.
Oh, yeah.
So little known fact to, I think, maybe a lot of Cougar fans about Virginia. The major cash crop out of Virginia is tobacco.
Boo.
And so,
terrible.
Ever since the late 1800s...
Virginia, birthplace of lung cancer.
And yeah, I mean, Mormons, we all, it's well documented, our hatred for tobacco. We've got to beat Virginia.
We love tobacco when treating bruises.
And so I want signs, you know, do it for the word of wisdom. No, I really don't. That'd be embarrassing. But there's
tobacco. It's for bruises.
Yeah, exactly. And sick cattle. There's not enough bruises and sick cattle out there to be producing as much tobacco as Virginia is producing.
I'm on board. besides it, it's disgusting when it's all over the floors.
Yes.
Shouldn't you pray and think about this a little bit?
No more tobacco. So that is the Cougars' reason to hate.
I am on board with that. Other places will tell you it's for revenge. It's because of other things. Whatever. No. 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 No tobacco.
They should football practice this week. It should be say no to tobacco on three.
I would love to hear that. No to tobacco. All right, there it is, folks. The reason to hate the Virginia Cavaliers. You can share that little tidbit with your friends and family in your section, in your living room, and whenever they try to give a compliment to the other team, you can just lay down and say, "Yeah, really? I guess you love tobacco then."
Yep.
So there it is. Okay, Tosh, where can you see this game this week?
I love this answer. ESPN.
Oh.
Prime time.
Watch ESPN app?
No, I mean the channel. Just not ESPN Ocho or Two, just ESPN.
Deportes?
Nope.
ESPN.
In English.
In English. And probably in Spanish. At what time?
1:30.
1:30.
So the joke
is this our first afternoon game as an independent?
In a while. And
against an FBS opponent?
I think so. And so this is really a chance for BYU to make a statement, to be a Power Five school that people are really, high on right now since they just knocked off the 21st ranked opponent last week.
Yeah. And we also live in a weird world where, by the way, this is Virginia's first road game. I wanted to point that out. That I wonder if they have struggles the way Cougars do, but that first road game is a hard road game.
And this is not a short trip, and nope, with change in temperature and elevation for them. And
yeah, so I do think that there is some interesting things to think about with that. But ESPN, 1:30 p.m., and it's really big. Now, where do you sit on the fill the stadium crowd? Like the guys that are like, I'm embarrassed because there wasn't somebody sitting in the worst seat in the house.
I'm not on the extreme on either side. Obviously, I would rather it be sold out. And I've got some outside of the box ideas of how we could do that. But that could take up a whole segment, which we don't need to get into.
There should be a guy standing in the corner dressed as Carl G. Mazur inside of a chalk circle who will not leave during the entire game. He's there. He's on like the, he's there. He's got the circle of chalk around him, and he stands in there in the entire game. And people can take pictures with him and stuff. This is marketing, folks. Come on.
Yeah, there's lots of ideas. There's one idea. I've got multiple how we could sell this thing out, but I don't get mad as a fan. We have a lot of fans at the game, and it's anyway, I could get into this, but I do hope that it's sold out. It looks better on TV sold out. I hope people show up. It's a
whiteout.
Yeah.
This game brought to you by Whiteout.
Yeah. So
whenever you make mistakes with your pen.
The whiteout games look cool. The fans look cool if everyone's in white. So right. Hopefully it is sold out. But either way,
all arraigned, it'll be a fun crowd.
I don't get mad or think less of BYU if our corners of the field are empty. I was at the Texas game. They had empty seats. So it doesn't mean we're a small-time program that we have corners of our stadium that are a little bit empty.
I agree with you. Okay, and now it's time for what has become the reason that people listen to the show is they want to know what Broncos Fireside Talk is. And, a lot of people say that they have sources, but here at CougarCast, we have proven that we absolutely have this stone cold 100% with no question. And so now it's time for the Bronco Fireside Talk title. Okay, Bronco, he'll be there with his Royal Army, and he will address the crowd this week. Where's it going to be this week, Tosh?
At Bam Bam's Barbecue.
Oh, Bam Bam Barbecue. There'll be more than spiritually fed this week. Bam Bam's, we expect a check. Just kidding. Not really. Okay, the Fireside Talk. The parable of the 10 Virginians.
That's great.
All right, and then it will be time for... Okay, anyway, that's his Fireside Talk. It's hard. It's hard. Bronco, that's a stretch for him. But, I got to tell you, I think it will still rally the troops.
Just that topic intrigues my interest in the parable of the 10 Virginians. I want to go and hear what this is.
So. Yeah. Well, listen, the greatest of us all taught with parables. And so, I think it's smart for Bronco to try to do that. I'm on board.
All right.
All right, Tosh, it's time for score and game predictions. And I'll go first. Listen, I think the Cougars are on their way at this point. Second home game, they've had more rest, 10 days rest. They've been thinking about Virginia. I think there is something to last year, this is what happened, right? And you correct that. But that only takes you so far. That, you know. But I do think that BYU is far improved than they were on week one of 2013. I think they're so much further as a team now. Virginia, I think, has gotten better.
No doubt.
In the same time. The question is which team has gotten incrementally better, and then what are the other, you know, factors that help? And so, you know, I've seen an article about altitude and the role it plays, but every team thinks that their home field provides an advantage. Like Texas, like, it's so hot down here, like these guys won't even know what to do about that. So I kind of don't like falling into that hole either. Whenever I bring it up on the show, I just do a cheeky style. But anyway, I like the Cougars in this game. Virginia's got very good athletes. I think that there'll be more challenges for BYU. I think last week Houston showed ways that you can guard that BYU offense to slow them down. And I think that if Virginia can have sustained drives, then this will be a scarier game. But I do like the Cougars in this one, and I will take them. BYU, I'll take them at 17 points.
Okay.
And I'll take Virginia at 7. 17-7.
All right, so that's a low-scoring affair. I'm not that far off of you. I think that their defense does the best job of keeping points off the board, that better than any team's done against us so far this year. The game will be one that our D, I think, will break the offense and really give our O some short fields to put up some points. I go a little bit high scoring, but it's 28. BYU scores 28, and that Virginia scores 13.
So I think that's you were, by the way, extremely close on your Houston prediction. You were 1 point off both ways.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this show brings. I think the 13.
The smile, the smugness just flying out of this guy's body.
The reason that I think 13's not a bad pick is because their field goal kicker's really good. I mean, he's only missed one field goal all year, but it was really long. He's had a 47-yarder, multiple 40-yard-plus kicks.
Maybe I should have went with 9.
17-9. I'm going on the record, 28-13 BYU.
All right, you convinced me. I'm switching it up. They're not getting in the end zone. 17-9. 17-9.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you once again, and thank you to Clark for the email. Appreciate that. If you want to get involved with the show, you can call in, leave a voicemail at 512-8-BYU-WIN. You can also email us, cougarcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us, at Lehigh Roller, or at Cougarcast. And finally, give us a review, tell your friends about us, and look for the articles on Vanquish the Foe. Thanks for listening, and
good luck, Cougs.
Good luck, Cougs. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!